The Bible defines the word fear in two diverse ways. God speaks both of a fear that is something very sinful and a fear that is evidence of true godliness and wisdom. There is a fear in the Bible which God commands us to have as Christians. He expects us to obey and fear. And then there is a fear that is forbidden, a fear that is prohibited, a fear that we need to constantly disobey. One is manifested by faith, the other is manifested in unbelief. In Hebrews 11:7, we see the fear that we are commanded to have if we are going to live a healthy, joyful Christian life. We are to have the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord means that we fear His warnings. And that is a manifestation of faith. We know that we are living by faith when we fear God's warnings and we are moved by them. Just as Noah did in Hebrews 11:7, by faith Noah, being warned of God. God warns. He warns His people. He doesn't keep them in darkness. He doesn't deceive them into thinking that everything is going to be okay. But He warns us of things that will take place. And He warned Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. There are many things that we have not seen as of yet. But God warns us in the Scriptures about those things. So many churches today are avoiding these warnings. And they are telling people positive things and are not warning about future things, about things that we need to know about so we can change now while there's time left. Being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. By faith, Noah moved with fear. That means fear caused him to change. He made changes based upon fear. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house. That was a lot of hard work in building that ark. And he had resistance guaranteed. But fear moved him. Fear moved him. By which he condemned the world. That's not a popular thing to do, to condemn the world. And he did. By building this ark, by faith. By moving with fear. And he became an heir of the righteousness which is by faith. He will be one of those bright, glorified bodies in the kingdom to come when Jesus Christ returns. He is going to be the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. You know, when we live by faith, we are always going to be moved with fear concerning the warnings of God. Always. That's how we know faith. Faith has works. And if we don't have faith, if our faith doesn't have works, then we don't have faith. And one of the works of faith is being moved by the warnings of God. Faith and fear go hand in hand. And this is a fear that's based on future realities, future promises that God has given us. And therefore, it is a faith. This fear is a faith because it's totally based upon what God has warned us about in the future. And there is no way that we can live a holy, obedient life unless we have a healthy, dynamic fear of the Lord. We need it. In 2 Corinthians 7:1, therefore having these promises, notice that, therefore we're having these promises. Things that are written down, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. If we're going to perfect holiness in the fear of God, we need the fear of God. There's no way to perfect holiness unless we have the fear of God. This is the fear which the Bible commands all through the Bible. It's everywhere. Fear of God is everywhere. It is the foundation. It is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 1:7. It pleases God. Fear pleases God. When we fear Him, we fear His warnings, we fear His commandments. It pleases God, and that means it's faith. But there's another kind of fear which the Bible says is not of God. And so many people today live in this fear. In 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear." Notice that. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear." So far, we can know that there is a fear that we're not to have. That's not from God. "But of power and of love and of a sound mind." Many of God's people today, along with the rest of the majority of the world, live in a spirit of fear. And many times this is put upon us by the media. They want us to fear everything. Fear plagues and diseases that don't even exist. They want us to fear terrorists that don't even exist. They want us to fear so many things. And many times we adopt this spirit of fear. And it comes upon us. And it keeps us in bondage. It keeps us from doing the will of God. The word spirit here means that it's part of our mindset. It's our demeanor. It's how we conduct ourselves. This kind of fear does not believe God. This kind of fear is unbelief. And it's focused on self. Or on something other than the Word of God. This kind of fear. Oh boy, there are many fears. The children of Israel came out of the land of Egypt. God promised them that He would give them Canaan, the beautiful land flowing with milk and honey, that God would give them Canaan as an inheritance. And He supernaturally confirmed His word by supernaturally delivering the children of Israel by signs and wonders from heaven. He took down the greatest kingdom at that time, the kingdom of Egypt. And He delivered His covenant people, taking them through the Red Sea. However, when it came time at Kadesh Barnea for them to cross over into the promised land, they feared the giants that occupied that land. In Numbers 13 and 31, We are not able. Notice the focus. We are not able. Fear says we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Notice in verse 32, a land that devours its inhabitants. In verse 33, we saw the giants. We saw the giants. What was the source of their fear? The Bible clearly tells us what the source of their fear was. In Hebrews 3:19, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. The source of their fear was unbelief. Their fear was sourced in not believing what God had told them He would do. What God had promised them. And it caused them to fall short of the land of promise. There is a clear connection all through Scripture between this kind of fear and unbelief. Notice in Acts 9:26, a good example. When Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him and believed not. Notice that, how being afraid is associated with believing not. They were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. So all through the Bible, we have God over and over and over again telling His people, fear not. Have you seen those times, those commandments in the Scriptures where you'll be reading and He says, fear not. Be not afraid. Over and over again. In Mark 5:36, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, He saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. The opposite of being afraid is to believe. Only believe, he said. Don't be afraid, just only believe. How can we define this kind of fear which God tells us is manifested in unbelief? Well, the couple dictionaries I looked at gave some good definitions. Fear is an uneasiness of the mind upon the thought of future evil likely to befall us. An emotion experienced in anticipation of some specific pain or danger. So by this definition, there are two key words. And by the way, notice here that fear is like faith. It has a focus on the future. Two words in this definition are very important. Mind and thought. Fear has everything to do with our mind. What we think, the thought pattern, our belief system as a person, what we're believing in. And this is very important to realize when we want to overcome fears. It is a belief system. It is in our thought life. It's in our mind. People have many fears. Fears are many. Members of a psychology class asked 500 people. They did a survey. And they asked 500 people, what are you afraid of? And those 500 people listed 7,000 fears. 7,000 fears. You know, we get so familiar with our fear that we don't even realize that we're living in it. We just accept it as part of our life. Normal. The fear of failure. The fear of people. The fear of what others think and what others will do to me. Oh, that's a big one. The fear of what others think. The fear of what people will do to me. The fear that something will happen to my kids. The fear of sickness and disease and cancer. The fear of old age. The fear of death. The fear of going outside the house. I recently was doing some transcription on a person, and they spent 3 months in the bed. 21-year-old spent 3 months in the bed, curled up in a fetal position. He didn't want to go outside. He feared going outside. The fear of losing my job. Everybody's losing their job. I'm next. What will I do? It hasn't happened yet. So already we're in the shackles of bondage. We have fear plaguing our mind. The fear of not getting a job when you want one. The fear of marriage. When I was single, there was a little bit of fear about getting married. I don't know about anybody else. What if I later on don't like them? You know what I mean? Like, yeah, this fear. I mean, not when I was dating Pravita, but like before, you know, thinking about marriage, you know, like what would happen, you know? And the fear of being single. Fears. The fear of the unknown future. What will take place? Fear is always associated with anxiety and worry and stress and doubt. And you know what? The Bible associates fear with departing from the living God. Departure from the living Almighty God. Our fears can become so dominating in our thinking that they begin to control our lives, control the chemicals in our bodies, make us sick, bring us into slavery and bondage. Psychiatry calls intense fears phobias. That's what they call them, phobias. And which leads people to what they call panic attacks. Panic attacks. A phobia is an intense, unrealistic fear which can interfere with the ability to socialize, to work, or to go about everyday life that is brought on by an object, event, or situation. A panic attack is a sudden surge of fear that is often accompanied by a pounding of the heart, shortness of breath, dizziness, sweaty palms, and the unpleasant and other unpleasant physical symptoms, okay? Sweaty forehead, you know? Panic attack. I know someone very close to me that they had, in a crowd of people, they would experience panic attacks. And he was taking medication to help stop that. Let's be very clear about something this morning. God has not given His people a spirit of fear. That is clear. God has not given His people a spirit of fear. It is not within the Christian character to live fearfully. It's not there. Why? The great enemy of our faith is fear. Notice in Mark 4:40, the fearful have no faith. Jesus said unto them, that is His disciples, why are ye so fearful? That intrigued Jesus. Why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? Israel had all the promises of God on their side. Covenant promises from the covenant God. And these promises were so confirmed by the miraculous, but they put their focus on themselves. What they could not do, and what the giants could do to them. Fear never looks to God, and what God has promised in His written word. Fear says the opposite of what God says. Next to pride in the Bible, the worst thing for our spiritual life is to be fearful. Next to pride, the worst hindrance in our walk with Jesus Christ is to live in fear. To live in fear. Is it any wonder fear is a characteristic of a wicked man? In Proverbs 28:1, the wicked flee when no man pursueth. They're afraid when nothing's happened. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. When I was reading this verse, I thought of a movie that I saw a long, long time ago called The Wizard of Oz. How many have ever seen that movie? I know a lot of Christians don't like that. What do you mean? You saw The Wizard of Oz? Yeah, I did see The Wizard of Oz. But in that movie, there was a lion. And what he wanted to do as a lion was to overcome fear. He wanted to be a courageous lion. And that, I thought of that verse because lions are supposed to be courageous. And what the wizard finally gave to him, which really was no wizard at all. He was a man behind the curtain. But what that wizard gave him was courage. A medal of courage, I believe, if I remember correctly. He gave him a medal of courage. So when we think of a lion, we think of someone who is bold. And the righteous are bold as a lion. But the wicked man, he lives in fear. I want to make it again clear this morning. Many of our fears, which we accept in our life, are not from God. They are not from God. And fear, let's call it what it is. Fear is sin. It is sin. It is not a disorder. It's not a disorder. It is sin. You don't need medication for it. You need repentance. You need repentance, not medication. What did Paul say in Romans 14:23? Remember that verse? Whatever is not of faith is what? Sin. It's sin. Whatever is not of faith is sin. And when we live fearfully, we're not living by faith. And therefore, it is sin. Therefore, we should not take our fears lightly. We should seek to defeat them. We should seek to overcome them. And we should face them with courage head on. We should acknowledge them, not deny them, face them head on for Jesus Christ and His glory. We need to recognize the source of our fears and name it for what it really is. In Genesis 3:10, remember, When Adam was living in sin, what did he say? What did he say? I heard your voice, God, in the garden. And I was afraid because I was naked and hid myself. Living in fear is living in sin. Anytime that we live separated from God, just as Adam at that point in the garden was living separated from God, we open the door to fearful thoughts, fearful feelings. I guarantee you are not meditating on the promises of God when you are in a state of fear. Let us think about this morning. We cannot say that we are walking with the Lord and at the same time living in areas of fear. Notice in Nehemiah 6:13, therefore he was hired that I should be afraid and do so and sin. Nehemiah makes it very clear here that when you are afraid of others and others, what others will do, it is sin. Fear is sin. And if a Christian has fear of anything other than God, he is living in unadulterated, unmitigated sin. He automatically enters into a state of mind that will not glorify God. He's not reasoning correctly. Fear is not trusting God at His Word. It is rejecting God's Word. Fear says that there is no God. And if He is there, He doesn't care for me and for my situation. You're all alone in this world. That's what fear says. That's what Satan wants you to believe, that you're all alone in your situation. Fear believes the devil. And faith believes God's Word and His promises. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, when He walked on this earth, He expressed many feelings. Compassion. Anger. Sorrow. He wept. But there is no time whatsoever, anywhere you can try to find it, there's no time where Jesus Christ walked as a fearful man. Never. Jesus had no fear. Isaiah 50 tells us the prophecy, and this speaks of Jesus Christ. This is Jesus speaking. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. I won't be perplexed. I won't be dismayed. Therefore have I set my face like a flint. I have purpose. I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is ne'er that justifies me. Who will contend with me? See how bold he is? Who is going to contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that feareth the Lord? That obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. There you go. That is how you overcome your fears, just like Jesus Christ did, just the way he walked. He was a bold man, and he had confidence in God his Father. That's what the picture here is, that he had confidence not in what others were going to do to him. He had confidence in God his Father. And the reason that he did not fear man, he did not fear the situations that he was in, was because he knew that he was not alone. He was not alone. God was with him. God was going to help him. God was his defense. God was his refuge. Even when Jesus was hanging on the cross, a broken man, about ready to die, and gives his last breath, what does he do? He trusts himself to his Father. In Luke 23:46, then Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. when it says that he commits his spirit into the hands of the Father, that meant he was trusting God for himself, for his person. Both faith and fear are focused on the unseen future. The only difference between the two is that one believes that God will come through for you and the other one believes he won't. How do we overcome our fears? The same way Jesus did. Jesus kept his mind focused on God the Father. We saw in the definition of the word fear this morning, fear has everything to do with our mind, with our thinking, with our thought patterns. It's a belief system. True courage is a result of reasoning. All the courageous men all down through the age who came against opposition and had a time where they could have been fearful, the reason that they overcame their fears is due to reasoning rightly. One writer said this, a brave mind is always able to resist attack. Resolution lies more in the head than in the veins. Resolution lies more in the head than in the veins. We need to trust God. We need to acknowledge Him in all of our ways, as Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 and 6 says. That is how we overcome our fears. In Proverbs 3 verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding of the situation. And in all your ways acknowledge Him. And I guarantee you, you will no longer be fearful when you start acknowledging Him in the equation. And He will direct your paths. When you are confronted in your mind, in your thinking, with fearful thoughts, with fearful feelings, turn to the Lord. Turn to the Lord. He is the solution. Acknowledge Him in all your ways. Remember His promises. Fight the good fight of faith, because fear is going to fight. Fear is not going to die easily. It's very important that we have a sound mind. That's what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:7. But God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. A sound mind is a disciplined mind. The issue with most Christians is not that they don't know how to meditate. The issue is that they're meditating on their problems, not meditating on the promises. It's not an issue. Well, I don't know how to meditate. No, you know how to meditate, and you're thinking too much on the problems, not on the promises. The more that you discipline yourself to meditate on God's Word, the easier it will become to reject thoughts that are not God's thoughts. And fear is not from God. It is not from God. The fear that we're talking about this morning, that brings anxiety, that brings stress. One of the main causes of fear is lack of control over events in one's life. And again, throughout the Bible, what is the solution? God always tells us the solution. Fear not. Be not afraid. He guarantees them with these words that He will be with them, that He will not forsake them, that He will not leave them. Notice in Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong, God says, and of good courage. Do not fear, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you, nor forsake you. What do we have to fear? Is there anything in this world that's bigger than God? Joshua 1:9. Joshua was given the command to take all the children of Israel into the land of promise after Moses had died. It could have been a very fearful event for him. He could have been thinking, what if I trip and fall? What if I don't get them in? What if I get killed? What will happen then? Joshua 1:9. What if I don't do what Moses did? Well, I'm not as great leader like Moses was. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That is the message of the Bible. That is the Christian message. That is why we don't live in fear. With this kind of a promise, we should laugh and face our fears with courage. God wants us to know that we can be confident. As long as He is with us, we don't have to be afraid. The knowledge of His presence is the confidence that will help us overcome any fearful situation. And the more that we have faith, the more fear will be resisted in our life. Faith and fear cannot be present at the same time. When we trust in the promises of God, we will not be afraid. Notice in Psalm 112, verse 7. We shall not be afraid of evil tidings. Why? His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. See, that's how we are not fearful over disasters and things that happen in our lives, things that come to us that are negative. Psalm 56:3, whenever I am afraid, I call up mommy. Mom, I'm afraid. No, whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in you. The answer is, the solution is, turn to the Lord. Turn to Him. Have the right perspective. King Hezekiah. I mean, think of what this situation was like. The army of Assyria, so well equipped. A very large army. By the sight, the people of God had no chance at all to survive this battle. They were going to be eliminated. They were well equipped, and there were many of them. Hezekiah could have just looked and said, oh, he could have been confused. He could have been perplexed. He could have been negative. He could have been discouraged. But notice what he says in 2 Chronicles 32:7 and 8. Be strong and courageous. The message of the Bible. The message from God for His people. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh. But with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. I love that. For there be more with us than with him. I just picture at this point Israel is just in one sense, kind of like a little ragtag bunch. You know, they don't have all the armor and all the steel and all the weaponry. At that time, the advanced sophistication of chariots and different kinds of weapons of destruction, and they're being surrounded. And the people rested themselves. Notice this, they rested. Should we do something else now? This is over. We don't fear anymore. And they rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Went to sleep. God will take care of us. God will fight our battles. Throw away that prescription. We don't need it anymore. We're listening to the words of Hezekiah. Faith will always cast out fear. Faith will always cast out fear. Fear of what will happen in the future. Fear of situations that are out of my control. A fearful person must take his focus off himself and place his trust and his confidence in God. Our eyes, our mind must be fixed on the Lord. Notice in Deuteronomy 20, verse 3 and 4. What great scriptures. Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not, and do not tremble. Neither be ye terrified because of them, for the Lord your God is he that goeth with you. See that? He's with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. See, when the Lord is with us, we have nothing to fear. Notice in Luke 21:11, Jesus told us in the last days there are going to be fearful things. You know, there will be fearful things that take place on this earth in the last days. There will be a great earthquakes in various places, right? Recently, great earthquake. And famines and pestilence. And there will be fearful sights. Fearful sights mean fearful people. Fearful sights and great signs from heaven. And Jesus said that men's hearts will fail them. It will fail them. They'll get discouraged. In Luke 21:26, men's hearts failing them for fear. Failing them for what? Fear. This speaks of the last days, the tribulation period. And you know, those are going to be days of testing. The Lord is going to test His flock. And one writer said this, no one can tell who the heroes are or who the cowards are until some crisis comes to put us under the test. The great tribulation will be a great test of who we're trusting. If we're going to decide to live in fear or we're going to trust in the Lord our God. But you know, as the elect people, the ones chosen, the people of God, the Lord's church, the covenant people, we have nothing to fear. Notice what Isaiah 43:1 says. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. We're the Lord's. We are the Lord's. Next time when a fearful thought, a fearful feeling wants to dominate you, you tell that thought, that feeling that you are the Lord's. The Lord's. Notice Isaiah 35:4. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong. No, that is the overwhelming message. Be strong. Fear not. Behold. What are we looking at here? Myself? No. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. So in these last days, if we're alive during the great tribulation period when men's hearts are failing them, we can have this promise of Isaiah that the Lord is coming with vengeance. He is coming with recompense. Be strong, fear not. Your Deliverer is coming. Your Redeemer is coming out of Zion. Did not Jesus Christ promise us that the Father would give us the kingdom? What do we have to fear, right? The kingdom is ours, right? Just like Israel, the land flowing with milk and honey, it's theirs before they got there. God told them, it's yours. Canaan is yours. It's your inheritance. It's promised to you. And you know what? The kingdom is yours. The kingdom is yours. It's promised to you. Luke 12:32, Jesus said, fear not, little flock, the church of Jesus Christ. Those baptized members that are committed to the commands and teachings of Jesus Christ in a local church. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The kingdom. The kingdom should cast out all fear, right? We believe the kingdom. But you know what? We don't resolve our fears. And we make choices to live in our fears. There are consequences for those who continue to live in fear. Consequences. Because you cannot please God and live in a state of fear. Faith and fear are diametrically opposite. Notice what the consequences will be for the fearful. In Revelation 21:8, but the fearful, who are they right next to? Who are they buddies with? And the unbelieving. The fearful and unbelieving, and who is their neighbor? The abominable. The abominable. And who is their neighbor? And murderers. All in the same group. I never murdered anybody. Well, you're in the same, if you're fearful, you're in the same group as murderers. And then you go on. And whoremongers. And sorcerers. Not a great crowd to be a part of, huh? And idolaters. And all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. There are consequences for the fearful. If we don't resolve our fears through faith, a living faith, a trust, a confidence, a boldness in the promises of God, what is written down in Scripture, then we'll be delivered over to the second death. It will have power over us. In Psalm 34:4, the Lord can deliver you from all your fears. You want to get over your fears? Let the Lord deliver you. I sought the Lord. Are you seeking the Lord? If you have fears, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. From all my fears. If you have fears, seek the Lord. He will deliver you. That's the promise here. Fear will prevent us from doing the will of God. And God encourages us not to think and ponder upon certain things that we don't have control of. I don't have control of my destiny. I don't know what's going to go on in the future. I can make the best decisions I can now for the will of God. There are certain things I have to trust God for. I have to put in His hand. I don't know how my kids will grow up and be like. I can do my very best to train them. I can do my very best to invest in them, the things of God. But I don't know how they're going to grow up. I got to trust God on certain things. We must learn to trust God in certain areas. Philippians 4:6 says, have no anxiety about anything. Look at that. Have no anxiety about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. In other words, we are not to fear, we are not to worry about what man might do to us, or about what I have or what I don't have, what I need tomorrow. No. As Christian people, we have a God. We have a Savior. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your care upon Him. All your anxieties, all your fears, go to the Lord. Go to the Lord. For He careth for you. He careth for you. The Bible describes two kinds of fear. A fear that we are to obey, a fear that's very beneficial, a fear that is a necessity to live by faith, a fear in the Lord, a fear in the commandments, a fear in the warnings of Scripture. But the Bible also speaks of a fear that we are to avoid like the plague. Oh, I'm not saying it will come, but we're not to live in it. We're not to accept it as the norm. We're not to say, well, everybody else has this. No, we are Christian people. And we have a God. We're in covenant. And we need to make sure that we're looking to God and repenting of our fear in things that we have no control of, in people, in other things in this world. Anything that's not fear that's on the Lord, we need to make sure that we're not living in that. Let's pray.